Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, I'm here. It's the King for a Day podcast. Bear with me as I get my, just turn down my radio here in the background. Rick Goreski, looking to talk some fantasy football with everybody in the King for a Day family. You probably don't know, this is something new that we're trying out this year. We're trying to do some podcasting with the league, trying to get the word out. Everybody can't make meetings, so sometimes we're going to have, like I'm going to do today, a little bit of a pre-meeting so that when we get to the actual kickoff meeting, we'll be able to kind of get rolling, and guys that won't be able to make it will be able to chime in maybe with some comments via email. The gist of what I want to talk about today has to do with the polls that we took, just in general, the different types of rule changes that we're going to consider this year for King for a Day. So, pardon me, why don't I just kick it right off with one of the first polls that we looked at last year. Would you like to see King for a Day do away with or tweak the three-point place kicker bonus? Long-time rule that's been discussed over and over. I was shocked to see that this issue may be done. We may not have to talk about this anymore. 14 votes were cast out of 24 owners, and 13 said no. That's 93%. They don't want to see it changed. Only one person said they wanted to see that bonus tweaked. Another topic to talk about, that I kind of take that as the place kicker thing is really not something that ownership wants to delve into at this time, especially since we have that 75% rule where if you're going to change some of the base rules of the league, you need to have 75% of league owners approve it. What that really means from an actual number standpoint is that you can have no more than 8 owners vote against a rule change and still have that rule change approved. 9 owners can veto a rule change if it is a rule change that touches upon the most basic structures of King for a Day. And that's all in the league rules. I'm not going to go over that right now. But if you're wondering more about that and how to, you know, how that all comes together, why isn't just a simple, you know, 15 people voted for it, 9 people voted against it, why isn't the rule a done deal? Well, that's why we've got this protectionist rule in there to make sure that if we're going to change one of the major rules of King for a Day that kind of makes up our identity, we want to make sure that we've got 3/4 of the league minimum on board with that change. So, place kicker rule, gone. Next up, would you like to see King for a Day add a third wide receiver to the standard starting lineup? We had 10 votes. 6 votes were yes. 4 votes were no. It's not even half the league voted on it, but 60%, 6 out of 10, would like to see us add a third wide receiver as part of our standard starting lineup. Next up, I'm going to roll through some of these and then we'll talk about them. Would you like to see King for a Day expand defensive starting lineups to start 3 players at each position compared to the 2 that we currently have? Again, 10 votes were cast coincidentally. 2 people said yes, they would like to see expanded defensive starting lineups. 80%, an overwhelming 80% said no, they did not want to see defensive lineups expand. And the thought process behind that one, by the way, was that we would move to 3 defensive linemen, 3 linebacker, and 3 defensive backs. Right now, we start 2 of each of those categories. And, again, we're going to follow up on some of these in just a couple of minutes, but that is one item that I was surprised by that. I was surprised at how many people just did not want to see defensive players expanded. Should King for a Day adopt the plus-minus turnover ratio playoff tiebreaker rule that breaks ties in games during the regular season to force a win or a loss decision in games that end in a tie. I guess that's a really wordy way of saying, should we break ties and should we use the plus-minus turnover ratio, which is our playoff tiebreaker, to break ties during the regular season to force a winner. 16 votes were cast, which is a pretty good sample. Only six teams, only six owners said yes, that they would like to see that occur, the implementation of that tiebreaker during the regular season. 10 owners, 62%, said, no, leave it alone. Leave ties alone. That's part of the league. Should the league scoring system be altered so as to award a one-time three-point bonus for 120 yards of combined kick return yardage, kick and punt return yardage? 15 votes, again, a pretty good sample on behalf of the league. 9 people said yes, that's 60% of the votes. 6 people said no. So it's a 60-40 issue, but at the same time, there's not a lot of, out of 15 votes, there's only 9 guys that didn't vote. 3 more no votes would kill that. And going back to 2013, for folks that don't remember, we did actually vote on a rule change to add kick and punt return yards with a one-time three-point bonus at 125 yards, and that did fail. So that was the 75% rule, where I believe we had 15 votes yes and 9 votes no. The 9 no votes vetoed this change. Some of the comments as to why, just to expand quickly, actually I'll get to that. There's one more poll that I'll mention, and then we'll start to dig into this. The last poll that I'm going to mention is, should we alter the league scoring system so that a three-point bonus is awarded after 6 receptions instead of 8? There were 18 votes on this one, which is the highest sample that we have. So lowering the reception bonus from 8 receptions equal a three-point bonus, down to 6 receptions would equal a three-point bonus. Overwhelming no. 12 owners said no, they didn't want to see that happen. Only 6 owners said yes, they would like to see that happen. So those were the comments that we gauged interest in last year via different polls. Now, to follow up specifically, we talked about the scoring system being altered for the kick and punt return yardage. That has come up again. Some owners have asked us to bring that up at this year's kickoff meeting, and I want to make sure that everybody has a little bit of background on this. Again, we did vote on this back in 2013. 15 owners said yes, 9 said no. So it was vetoed by 1 vote back in 2013. We have had a couple of spots change over since 2013. Maybe we have the votes to pass this at this time. Some of the guys that did say no back in 2013 gave reasoning why. And one of the owners, who I will read a little tidbit that he had left us, says, the more kicks in a game, the better chance of achieving this bonus. That's why he's voting no. It also puts a premium on dual role players, while most teams in the NFL have a dedicated return man. This might help points and add depth to the wide receiver position, but it also would add points to the defensive back pool. So in one way, they're voting against it, but they're saying that they could see how it could help the wide receivers and the defensive backs. It would increase the pool as well, because you could take a designated return man. They're also talking about how it seems this particular owner had a problem with 125 yards, feeling that they might be prone to vote yes if that number was higher. The 120, 125-yard mark, we didn't pluck that out of air. We did go back and research and just kind of try to grab an average number of yards that a player would get if, you know, based on the average game, average number of returns that a kick returner would get in the game, and that's where that number came from. But of course, it's open for debate. You know, should it be 150 yards? I don't have all the answers on that one. Looking forward to hearing what other people say. Another owner said, very short and succinct, no, it won't happen very often, in their opinion, the return bonus. And when it does, it's going to be because a defense can't stop the other team from creating several run return opportunities. That is one section that I think is probably, for those that don't like this particular proposal, that is really where the money's at in their argument. It doesn't have to, you get a guy who's just getting 20 yards on a return, which is pretty average. Just get the ball and run it up to the 20-yard line, and next thing you know, you're tackled. If that's all you do, and all you have to do is do that, get six kicks in a game. I mean, you're guaranteed at least one to start the game, and then you're going to have five other opportunities in the game. You really didn't do anything special. You just toted the ball six times. Now, could somebody say the same thing about a running back that carried the ball, you know, 30 times in a game and got 100 yards? Well, they didn't even have a 4 yard per carry average. They got 100 yards because they just kept toting the rock. Or a wide receiver who, you know, caught 10 balls for 100 yards. Well, geez, it's 10 yards a pop. Is that really exceptional? I don't know if that's enough to stop the idea of adding this category to the rules. I just think it's a valid argument on behalf of those that don't like it to say that, you know, is that amount high enough? That, because everything in King for a Day is kind of an above-average mark that we shoot for. 100 yards rushing is kind of the standard for a great game as a running back. 100 yards receiving for a wide receiver. You know, we put the tight ends down to 40 to make it a mark that they can more aptly reach. But I think that's where probably the real debate is going to occur, is probably what, if we did this, what would the yardage marker be? Is it 120? Is it 125? 150? So why don't we move on to some other comments? I want to mention some of the recent changes that we've made as a league. Going back to 2010, we extended the roster lock deadline. If you remember, we used to shut it down week 11, and then we opened it up and just said it's going to go all the way through week 12, trades, roster moves, the whole works. 2012, we added cross-position scoring, and this is where if you're, you know, running back makes a tackle, you're going to get 2 points for the tackle. Excuse me, you'll get points for the tackle. If you're, you know, your defensive back always, hypothetically, if they scored a touchdown, would get credit for that. But they literally are getting, you know, stats for, well, they kind of always did. This really had more to do with place kickers that would make a tackle, or a running back or a wide receiver that would make a tackle. They didn't get points for that previously, and now they do. In 2013, we added blocked kicks to our scoring system. Extra points, punts, field goals, any blocked kick is a scoreable stat now. And we added sack yardage to try to beef up the defensive lineman to say, I think it was three-point bonus for every 9 yards or more of sack yardage. And then in 2014, we extended the trade deadline just last year. Now, one thing that we did do last year was we voted during the league kickoff meeting on whether or not to add a flex position. And that did go down, but there were only three owners at the meeting. So it's not really a fair sample size that we could just dismiss the idea of a flex position. We definitely need to hear from more ownership, and we have already had owners write me. I sent out the kickoff meeting, kind of the league year kickoff note, and reminding people that there's going to be a kickoff meeting, wanting to collect agenda items, and I started getting responses from different ownership about different topics, and the flex position was something that people brought up. Some other items that were brought up by ownership. They'd like to see us tweak the running back threshold marker to get points, since, in their opinion, I'm in some cases quoting from other owners here, it's a dying spot. Very seldom are there running backs rushing for 100 yards a game anymore. Like to see a flex spot to allow one running back and another wide receiver or a tight end. another owner would like to see the addition of a third wide receiver. That would interest them the most, they said. Another owner says they'd like to see a third wide receiver, But this particular owner would like to make it so that if the owner starts three wide receivers, they would only start one running back. And they also would like to see that, I guess they're kind of shooting for more of a flex. They'd like to see the league go down to one starting running back and two starting wide receivers and then one flex position that would be running back, wide receiver, tight end. Other ideas this particular owner brought up, quarterbacks being penalized for sacks. They believe that this would close the gap between some of the top-tier quarterbacks and some of the other quarterbacks. They'd like to have the league talk about when an owner starts an incomplete lineup, that it would become an automatic loss for their team, no matter how many points the rest of their lineup scores. When an owner starts a player on bye, this owner would like to see them penalized a certain amount of points. I guess their comment was the amount penalized could be the weekly average for that position. The amount penalized could be the amount of points the top player at that position posted for the week, or it could be their team average per position. Again, these are thoughts that one owner, every owner always has the right to bring up items in King for a Day for discussion, for voting, things of that nature. So that's one owner's take. I'm not necessarily looking to spend this particular conversation with you picking at other people's, you know, thoughts and commenting too much on their specific thoughts. I have some generic things that I'd like to talk about because I think the real discussion and debate should happen during the meeting or as guys just naturally talk to each other and flush out different thoughts and ideas on what they would what they think would be best for the league. I know that for myself, a couple things that need to come up is we need to clarify our DNP rule so that anybody can call out a DNP. DNP meaning did not play. Right now, technically, the league's rules are set up so that only the owner who has the DNP or the person that they are playing can call out that DNP. We'd like to extend that out so that anybody in the league could call in that DNP, because think about it, if you're playing, you're vying for a division title with somebody, and it comes down to the final week, and, you know, you are doing everything you can, and you win your game, and the guy you're tied with, if he wins, he gets the division title, and that guy's playing somebody who's not really paying attention. They've got a DNP. They did post the backup list, so I guess they're paying attention to that extent, but they're not calling out the DNP. For whatever reason, they're not reporting the DNP to the website. If the DNP was reported, that guy loses, you win the division. Right now, you can't report that DNP for somebody else. And initially, the rule was set up that way because, remember, this goes all the way back to when we were doing stuff out of the newspaper, and it was a lot of work. We had our own website. We were loading things. The gist was that we wanted each individual owner to put in the time to manage their own team. There was only so much that other people were going to be responsible for with respect to managing somebody else's team. And if somebody was going to be a deadbeat and just not report their stuff, well, the hell with them, then they weren't going to get their stuff. Well, again, coming forward in time, the new websites that are out there, we've been on real time for quite a while now, it is more convenient and easier for us to just leave message board posts and to take care of that stuff. And I think at this point it's become a loophole where somebody could be negatively affected by it. And that's why we should go ahead and just close that loophole, set it up open wide. If there's a DNP and somebody calls it out because it's going to favor their team, you know, whatever their motive is, let them do it. There's really no harm in that. So, moving on. Another thing we need to do, and I'm actually going to credit Corey for pointing this out, is we need to make sure the Saiyans, Corey from the Saiyans, we need to make sure that extra points, the new rule changes that the NFL just put into place about, I want to say a month and a half ago, they changed the rules. So now when there is a two-point conversion, the defense can return that for, I think it's on extra points as well. I haven't read the full rule. I just read kind of like the little news blurb about it, probably like a lot of you guys. But basically, the defense can now return in certain situations certain point tries, two-point conversion tries and things like that for 2 points. And we need to make sure that our league sites and our league rules include that. Now, I kind of feel that they do as far as our actual league rules. You know, we say a two-point conversion is a two-point conversion. So if a guy runs a two-point conversion the opposite way, it's kind of like a touchdown of 6 points. If a DB grabs the ball and runs it back for 6 points, it's a touchdown of 6 points. But we need to make sure that we are consciously aware of that in the rules, that everybody's aware of that. And we also need to make sure, it's kind of on my shoulders to make sure that the website is going to score that whenever that happens, that it'll score it appropriately. So that's something that we need to make sure that we're all aware of and on the same page. Looking through the other comments that I have to make today, let's see here. Going back to the polls generically, the three kicker, the place kicker bonus rule, I guess, like I said, that's dead, 93-7. The adding a third receiver to the lineup, I've got some comments about that in the flex that I'm going to make, and the defensive starting lineups, the plus-minus turnover ratio, that was weird. That used to be a real push point for the league, talking about ties, and it's really faded down, and I guess guys are okay with where we're at on that. And the return yardage is going to be something that we talk about this year. So, stepping into my generic thoughts, I think the NFL is changing, and King for a Day has always been, since the day that we created it, it's always been the type of league where it was always kind of a conservative league. It was more of a touchdown league with a yardage bonus. It wasn't a pure touchdown league, but it wasn't a performance league. We didn't want to be like every other league. And I think a lot of owners continue to share that thought, that our identity is that you can go out almost anywhere and find these PPR leagues and the leagues where you get a point for every 10 yards rushing, or a decimal point for every point. Every 1 yard is 0.1 yard, points. Those leagues are a dime a dozen. Leagues where you can start three wide receivers, leagues where you have flex positions. King for a Day was different, and King for a Day was always kind of a apples-to-apples fantasy experience. It was my two running backs against your two running backs, my two wide receivers against your two wide receivers. It was kind of, to be a little macho about it, a little mano among mano. It was just meant to be a true one-to-one type league. And I'm not saying it doesn't work that way today. It still does. But what I'm trying to say is that the NFL is changing. And the increase in passing over the past 20 years has changed the game. And therefore, when I say the game, I don't mean just the NFL. I mean fantasy football. The days of a 25-30 carry a game workhorse running back is all but gone. And instead, in its place, we have running back by committee backfields. We have three wide receiver sets, two tight end sets, four wide. Geez, I think some teams run five wide at times. Again, King for a Day, always having the mentality of wanting to be kind of a apples to apples, as I call it, mano among mano type league. As honorable as that is, maybe it's time to recognize that there just aren't enough running backs out there anymore to demand each team start two. You don't want a system where there aren't, from a big picture standpoint, when you think about this, we all think about our own teams, but when you kind of put that, in my own terms, I always call it the commissioner hat. I have my separate duties as an owner, but then I have the commissioner duties. And I think if you would share that with me, I believe a lot of you do. I don't mean to infer that you don't, but I mean if you could just have this visualization of take off your owner hat and set it on a hook and put on that commish hat, put on that big picture hat, and think about the league as a whole and what would be good for everybody and what will help this league live on and be viable and be fun. You don't want a system where there aren't enough legitimate starting candidates for the number of starting spots required. Is it time that King for a Day contemplates going with a lineup with one running back, two wide receiver, and one flex, and that flex could be a running back, wide receiver, or a tight end? Is it time to go to a straight one running back, three wide receiver? I mean, I don't know the answer. I know I'm thinking about it. And I know the league should start to talk about this so that we can stay relevant and we can stay ahead of this. It's not that what we have doesn't work, but you look at where things are going and you look at the increase in passing, and I think it's fair to say that, you know, we need to talk about this. I mean, like it or not, we have to change with the NFL because our game is based on the NFL. And if we had been starting a fullback, if that was what we originally set out, was one starting fullback, well, fact is the NFL doesn't use fullbacks anymore on offense. I mean, they use them to block here and there. You'll get a touchdown out of a John Kuhn, or you'll get a guy like Marcel Reese in Oakland who can put up some stats. Tolbert had a pretty good year a few years back when he was with San Diego. But by and large, the days of, you know, bruising fullbacks, getting the ball, and being a true part of the offense are kind of gone. If we had another example, if we had extra points for drop kicks, we'd have to recognize and adjust to the fact that nobody drop kicks anymore. Nobody does drop kick field goals. I mean, I think there was one in the past, like, 15 years. Maybe I'm even wrong about that, but the fact is that people just don't do it. And we would have to accommodate for that if it was there. So the question for everyone is whether we're actually at a point where we need to change. The current system of a two running back, two wide receiver, and one tight end is still viable. If you want to, you can still get two running backs that are starting caliber in our draft. Strategy plays a huge role here when if a guy chooses to skip the running back spot and load up elsewhere and then end up without two viable starting running backs, that's a choice. You know, not a case where it happened because they couldn't find valid players. We do have guys that go out and do that sometimes. And I think it's important to actually say that strategy plays a role in this. That is a viable argument to counter what we're talking about, that, okay, well, if running backs are down, then, you know, put a bigger premium on getting yourself a good running back. You know, that's your choice as an owner, as a GM. Well, that's true. But again, we're asking the question of everybody to stop and think whether or not, with the changes that the NFL has made with their own rules, whether or not our mode, our current set of rules for operating is going to stay relevant. We know we can get by right now, but projected 3 to 5 years in the future. And also, I mean, to flip this thing around, wide receivers are plentiful. Many teams produce 3 fantasy wide receivers that are worthy. Fantasy teams can have as many as 4. I know what happened last year. There was a guy in our league who had 4. In fact, he won a title, Mike Thomas. Had 4 viable starting wide receivers, fantasy wide receivers on their roster. The rule only allows 2 starting wide receivers. Now, I'd wager that most teams in King for a Day are going to come out of the draft with 3 viable fantasy starting wide receivers on their team this year. You know, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, when we draft, I believe that most teams are going to come out with 3 guys on their team at wide receiver that could easily go into their lineup. Is it a good thing for the league to have that kind of fantasy-relevant talent on our bench? Is that good for the league? How does it affect the overall league competition? The same thing could be said about the defensive side of the ball. Is it a good thing that starting caliber players can be picked up at any time in free agency? Is that really good for the league? Does it make the league better that guys can load up on offensive talent, some of which we just talked about are being kind of scarce, the running backs, but they can load up on it and carry little to no backups on defense because they know there's no repercussion on the defensive side. They can just go ahead and load up. There's no harm. They can pop in free agency and get starters all the way up through week 12. Is that a good thing? Or should we think about maybe we should change that? Maybe we should go ahead and add emphasis to defense. And let's not forget that fun plays a role here. We do this because we enjoy it. The level of fun and game strategy that a rule change brings has to be considered, along with the merits of the rule itself. So I know a lot of guys put a ton of time and heart and soul into this league, so change isn't something we take lightly in King for a Day. The fact that so many people care is why the league is so much fun. So please do consider these topics that have been broached during this podcast prior to the kickoff meeting. Consider these changes from all angles is what I would ask people to do. So that's it. that's it for another episode of the King for a Day podcast. Thanks a lot for camping out with me, everybody. I'm Rick Goreski. This was the King for a Day podcast.